Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. You know, I hope that you release faith for the government and for the country. I hope that you do that when you hear me do it at church, but that you do it on your own accord. Amen. You know, there'll be times I'll be reading the news and I'll see things. And there's one in particular, a new rising star in politics. And I'm not going to say who it is or anything like that. But whenever I see this person, there's just something that ain't right about them. I didn't say him, I said them, because I'm not going to tell you even gender. Amen. Something that's not right about them. And I've realized I just can't quite put my mind around what it is. But you know, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to your spirit. Sometimes you won't know what it is, but you'll just know that something's there. Amen. And sometimes all you need to know is something. You don't need to know everything. Just sometimes you need to know something. Amen. And so if you know something, then you can pray in lines of what in accordance to what you know. Amen. Now, you know, sometimes the Lord will have us seek that out and try to find out what more of it is. But I just bind it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I ain't going to let that stuff. You know, we're going to let things control our lives. We're not going to let the government control our lives. We're not going to let people in the government control our lives. We're not going to let, you know, I'm not talking to say the government's bad and stuff. I can believe our government's here for a reason. Amen. But, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're the only one. But there is a reason for the government. Amen. And you know, God's intent for us was to live just, you know, between us and him. But ain't nobody been able to figure out that out yet. So until then, we're going to have to use a government. Praise the Lord. But when we get to heaven, it'll be just us and God. Praise the Lord. We don't have to be ruled by anybody. But, you know, there are rules for a reason. Amen. And we just believe God wants. Praise God. Well, that's no charge. Hallelujah. We got a service today to get into it. I am really excited. God started dealing with me on this stuff earlier this week. And I'm just going to tell you, mind if I share something interesting with you? You know, as a pastor, of course, the messages I preach will speak to me as well. Amen. They should speak to me as well. And if they don't, there's probably something wrong. But, you know, when I'm in, sometimes the revelation I get as I'm preaching is sometimes the revelation you get as I'm preaching is the same revelation I'm getting in that same moment. Amen. But, you know, earlier this week, I was in the Word. I just decided to get before the Lord and just not seeking him for a message, but just seeking him because I want to spend time with my Heavenly Father too, amen, not just for church, but on my own accord, amen. And I started getting I went to these scriptures that were stirred in me at a service I was at, praise the Lord. There's so much I could teach here right now, but praise God. I was at a service, and there was a scripture that was spoken, and it lit something in my spirit. And so that's a sign to me that that's for me. And so the next day is what I did was I got into it, amen, and said, well, okay, Lord, what do you got for me, amen. You know, so many times we get revelation on something, we get like that spark, and we're just like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. And we miss the whole thing. Like, God's got a whole series of stuff he wants to get over to us, but we just missed it because of that one. Well, praise the Lord. So anyway, I get into the scripture, and a message starts coming to me, just like when I prepare for a message for the churches, amen? And it starts coming to me, I'm writing it down, I'm thinking, you know, because whenever I get a message, I almost always know exactly what church it's for. I know what group of people it's for. I don't know how I know, I just know. It's divine revelation, amen? This is how the Lord works through me. Praise the Lord. But there are things in this that you can take out of it, I hope, you know. So at any rate, I'm getting this message, and I'm realizing that it's a message for something, right? And I'm like, okay, who is this for? And then I realized the message was for me. That the Lord actually took a scripture and then built other scriptures on it and taught me something that he needed me to know by preaching to me a message the same way that he has me prepare messages for other people. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not going to preach you that message, but there is part of something in that that was revelation to me that is in today's message. And so it was kind of a foundational thing for that message. Amen. We're going to go that a different direction. But God will reveal things to us through his word. And see, people will be like, how does God's word, how will he reveal things to you through his word? I don't know how he does it. But he does. You'll be reading his word and all of a sudden you'll know something you never knew before. Hallelujah. What is that? It's revelation. It's God speaking through his word. Amen. That's why when we hear God speak through his word, you know, it's great to have prophets. It's great to have people who can get the gifts of the Spirit moving and they can speak out and they can speak into your life. That's wonderful stuff, and God has that for a reason. But it's much better. Yeah. Everyone say much better. It's much better when God speaks to you through his word.
Right.
Much better. Why? Because his word shall not fail you, he promised. Yeah. Believe him and all will be well. believe him. I trust him. And guess what? All is well. Amen. That's just as easy as it is. It's awesome. But today's message is called Seasons Change, God Does Not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Seasons change, God does not. You know, one of the things, of course, the Bible talks so much about is seasons. I love that we live in this area because we have a change of seasons. Some people don't, but I'm going to tell you something. Just because you live here will make you understand God's seasons a little bit better. Just because you live here. Why? Because if you had nice weather all the time, you wouldn't transition well when there's seasons. Now, we might not all love the transition of the seasons. I know not everybody that lives around here loves when it starts snowing out. But how many know that we get over it pretty quickly? We start doing the things we got to do pretty quick. You know, it's like, I didn't want to get snow tires, but sooner or later, Denny will get hammered with a bunch of people coming in trying to get snow tires at the last minute because they're just going to do what they got to do. Amen. You know, and just things like that. You know, there's things like that all the time. We see that, but people adapt to it. You know, like, when it's funny, you'll go do a warmer climate and people, you know, it's like 50. When we went to Disney one year, we were down there. And, you know, we're out there laying by the pool in shorts. It's 65 degrees. We're laying there in shorts and everything. And all the people down in Florida, you know, they got jackets on. They say, we always tell when you northerners come down. Well, one, because we're so stinking white, praise the Lord. But, you know, I mean, not every northerner is white. You understand what I mean, but praise the Lord. Praise God. But anyway, so I'm thinking about how to go further with that, but I'm just going to leave that one. Hallelujah. But also because we're able to adapt to that cold. You know, I was thinking about it, it'd be 20 degrees out and people come out of the store or whatever. If they have a jacket on, it's open, you know, and stuff like that. I think about that all the time. I rarely zip up my jacket, you know, unless it's really, really bitter cold or something like that. But some people can't understand that. But my point is that seasons, we have seasons where we adapt to them, amen? And so we end up, but one thing we know is, rest assured, we're in winter now, but sun is coming. Yeah. Yeah. And it's less than a year away. So we know that the season isn't that far away, amen? Spring will be coming in just a few months, amen? It'll start getting warmer. Everybody will start, you know, it'll be, and I love how we adapt too, because, you know, like in the summertime, if you had a 50-degree day, you'd be like freezing cold. But in January, you have a 50-degree day. People are out sunbathing, you know what I mean? It's like, but that's just the way it is. But, you know, we understand seasons. So we need to understand, understand them naturally, let's understand them spiritually as well, amen? You know, and if we understand this, we will walk through life a lot happier, with a lot more joy. See, because there's two kinds of people, those that know God and those that don't, amen? Praise the Lord. So there's spiritually alive people and spiritually dead people. Well, spiritually dead people, they don't get any of this stuff. They don't get that God's good and that he'll come through for you. A lot of times when you come into church and you just started coming to church and you never been really come to church before, you never come to a faith church before, you know, you come in and you hear all this stuff and it takes you a little bit to start trusting God, right? But at some point you need to trust God. You know what I mean? At some point, you know, we had a leadership meeting last week, praise the Lord, and I got my leaders together and I just sharing some vision and things that we expect of them, amen? How many know that when you're a leader, there's things that are expected of you that normal people don't have to get into, right? But one of the things that I expect of my leaders is that they do what the word says, that they walk in love, you know, that they use their faith, that you know what I mean, that everything isn't always just falling apart, that they live as faith people. But we all need to learn how to do that. We all need to get to that place where we're living in faith. And so, if you're newer to the congregation, you're newer to learning this stuff, you know, bear with us. You'll get there. But the rest of us, let's start building that. Let's start trusting God. Because God's word doesn't fail us. It never fails us. I said it doesn't. Praise the Lord. If it did, I wouldn't be here. Praise the Lord. But I'm here and you're here and we're here. Praise the Lord. We're here together. Hallelujah. It's just barely start time. Amen. Glory to God. You see, you thought I still got a half hour before I even start. So we're just going. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just as it's right to expect a harvest, we have to understand that there will be times that seem empty. We have to understand that not every season is harvest season. And we have to be okay with that. Why? Because sometimes winter is necessary. You know, I'll tell you something. Winter might not be a lot of fun, but I'll tell you one thing that we have that a lot of places don't. It's called water. Water. Water is a very valuable thing, and one of the reasons we have it is because we have so much of it frozen out there right now. Amen? And it'll melt and it'll replenish our lakes. Our lake very rarely drops too low. And if it does, I mean, you know, maybe at the most, maybe a foot or two or something like that. But we know that the seasons will come around and they'll replenish that. You know, there's seasons that are meant to do things. There's purpose for seasons and in seasons. And I'm learning, praise the Lord, I've learned, but I'm learning to be okay with these different seasons. Not every season is harvest season. Amen. But rest assured, harvest season will come. The thing is we have to learn to trust God and say, you know what, as long as we are staying in the plan of God and we are doing our best to live according to, I said our best, to live, not perfectly, but to do our best to live according to his word, that everything is going to come back around for us. And we're going to see all this in Scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing we have to remember. When we have times and maybe there isn't the greatest harvest season or whatever, when it's and you have different kinds of harvest seasons. Some harvest seasons are very bountiful. Some harvest seasons are just enough. Amen. But regardless, none of this changes God. None of the seasons, no aspect of the season changes God. If there's a drought, it doesn't change God. You know, and we're given these examples throughout Scripture. You know, we see that God has prepared his people when there was drought. And even when people weren't prepared, sometimes he just fed them anyways. See, if you trust God, it will always be well for you. It may not always be abundant in the sense of, listen, it may not always be abundant in the sense that, like right now, I don't have necessarily tons and tons of money in the bank account. But there'll be times where I'll have more money in the bank account, and times where I'll have less, amen, and all of us as well. There'll be times where we can afford more, and sometimes, there'll be times when my wife says to me, you know what, it's just not in the budget to go out to eat this week. So we don't, you know what I mean, or this day or whatever. Sometimes there's different seasons, amen? And that's okay. We don't get depressed by that. We just understand. We understand that God is going to come through for us no matter what, amen? Praise the Lord. So those times, no matter what happens, okay, if you have a sickness come on you, does God change? Nope. If you got lack come into your life, does God change? Nope. If World War III breaks out and there's Holocaust and two-thirds of the world dies off, did God change? That sounds horrible, right? But seriously, it doesn't change. If there's a famine in the land, does God change? If there's a plague in the land, does God change? If you're happy today, does God change? If you're sad today, does God change? See, this is the problem, is that Christians so often, they will move with the winds of whatever. They will float around. When the wind blows, they'll be carried over here. When the wind blows, they'll be carried over. What do I mean by that? Well, they're happy today, they're sad tomorrow. They're happy right now. They're sad. Anything happens and their whole countenance changes. To somebody who doesn't understand seasons. Praise the Lord. They don't understand seasons. Like, listen, there's time, of course, when we can just move. You understand? I'm talking both metaphorically and naturally. If you just hate the winter that bad, I guess ultimately you can move. Amen? Or you can be blessed where God has called you and flourish in that. And deal with things sometimes that aren't. And we're going to see why we see seasons like that. Why would God, why would a good father, right? Why would a good heavenly father, why would he want us to feel like, well, we got to tighten in the belt and you know what I mean? We just don't have enough. Why would he want us to feel like this? Some of you may be even looking at me a little bit like, this doesn't sound necessarily what we preach. Listen, what we preach is we preach healing. But you understand that there's people that can live in such a way that they won't ever receive healing. You understand that? Because God can't undo necessarily sometimes all the bad things somebody does. That's why it's good to get in, get hooked up, and let God, let God work in your life. Amen? But a person who refuses and refuses and refuses and then comes to God and says, well, now I want to change. Listen, and it's different if you never knew. But, you know, there's Christians that will refuse and refuse and refuse. And all of a sudden, when all hell breaks loose, they're like, God, change us. And he's like, I can't. I can't, because you can. If you disobey the Lord long enough, he can't operate in your life because you've sown too many seeds of that. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're here today, right? I know we're here a half hour early. That's a big number, half hour. 30 minutes. Wow, that's huge. Praise God. But we made it. Amen? And we're gonna be blessed. Hallelujah. God's plan is revealed in the moments of life. We need to understand that if we sit down and we're like, okay, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to sit here and wait for God's plan to happen. It'll never happen. It's never going to happen. Praise the Lord. Faith without works is dead. We need to do something. It's just like, you know, the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Praise the Lord. That's a principle this country needs. If you don't work, you don't eat. What does that mean? It means stop being lazy, work, and get some money so you can eat. Yeah. Amen? God won't bless you if you don't do anything. If you sit around letting go, waiting for everything to happen, God ain't blessing you. Whether it's in little things or big things, God ain't changing if you're just going to sit around. But as we walk out life, as we go through the steps, as we do our best to follow the Spirit, as we walk in the things that God will show us, He will start leading us and guiding us. And as we follow Him, we'll find that things will just happen. It won't be burdensome. This is a year of easy receiving. I hope you're saying it. I'm saying amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's plan is revealed in those moments of life. Amen. As we walk it out. It isn't revealed, and I'm not saying not spending time before the Lord. If you're getting quiet before the Lord, you're going to kneel down, you're going to pray, or you're going to sit down and pray, and you're just going to spend some time praying. Of course, God will reveal things there. But what I'm talking about is eventually we all need to do something. You know, we could talk about starting a Mayville church all day long, but until we actually came out and did it, it didn't start. You know what I mean? Somebody had to plow. Somebody had to, same thing in Corio or anywhere else. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn me to Ecclesiastes 3. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory. I don't know when I started. Praise the Lord. We're going to get it all figured out together. Amen. I had a moment where I forgot where Ecclesiastes is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's before. Ecclesiastes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to get there. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to read it here because I'm having a hard time right now. Ecclesiastes 3, 1. Hallelujah. What's it say? To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Y'all thought it was the birds that came up with that. Was it the birds? Praise the Lord, back in the, was it another band? Somebody remember back in the day, there was a band, to everything, turn, there was a season. Y'all thought it was them that came up with it, but it was God that came up with it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Actually, Solomon wrote it. Amen? To everything, there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. Glory to God. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Look at this. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. To everything, there is a season. To everything, there is a season. God has seasons for everything. Now, this you got to understand some of the context of this verse. You know, God's perfect will is not that there would ever be war on earth. But we're already outside of God's perfect will because man fell roughly 6,000 years ago, right? Man fell, and so there's already something that entered the earth that was going to alter the course of what God's plan originally was. God's plan was not that we would ever die. It was that we would never die, I should say. Amen? But how many know that there's death? Why is there death? Does death seem like a good thing? No, death on the surface doesn't seem like a good thing. But in a fallen world, death is a good thing. Because if death didn't happen in a fallen world, God was good that He allowed our bodies to die in a fallen world. And a lot of people don't understand that. They don't get that. But see, here's the truth. God wants us to experience Him. He wants us to experience life without pain, without death, okay? But in a fallen world, that's impossible. Because in a fallen world where there's free will as the kind of the force, a force, amen, with free will, you in a fallen world, you're going to have death. You know, sometimes things happen that, you know, and a lot of people have a hard time with this because they think that God orchestrates and plans everything. You know, In Jesus' day, I was reading about that. You know, when Herod got ticked off because they deceived him about where the king was going to be born, you know what they did? They went through and they put to death every child in this region of land that was up to 2 years old. They killed them. The mothers, of course, mourned. You don't think God knew? God didn't see? Of course he knew. Was that his will? Absolutely, it wasn't his will. Did he orchestrate it? Absolutely, he didn't. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's imperfect. We're made imperfect by man's plan. And see, God wasn't saying that those babies needed to die, but he has to allow things to be a certain way if free will is going to be there. And he has to allow it because he said it ahead of time. Satan always takes advantage of the fact that God will not lie. Amen? But he's not smarter than God, so he doesn't win. Amen? And ultimately, it's a horrible thing that those babies died. It's a wonderful thing that they'll never know anything but heaven. Amen? Amen? And so I would say the same thing, you know, even in modern day, we still slaughter babies, and it's okay. A lot of people look at stuff like that and say, what an evil God, but then they'll agree with abortion. They're still slaughtering babies by the millions. It's not God's plan. It's not God's will. But guess what? Those babies, if there's any hope in any of it, it's that those babies are in heaven. They'll never know anything but heaven. They don't have time to grow up under stupid parents and not get trained to the will of the Lord. Amen? And that's one consolation that I have when they're tearing babies out of the womb. Praise the Lord. But that's what they do. But we understand in a fallen world that there are going to be seasons that sometimes aren't the most enjoyable seasons. There's going to be things that happen that aren't always the best of things. But that's why it's important that we stick and follow closely to God, because as we learn to do that, he leads us in a perfect way. And so we see, even when we see Jesus walking, when we see the disciples walking on earth, they had opposition. They had people, things that would come against them. But what did God do? He didn't promise that there wouldn't be opposition, but he did promise that there would always be victory. Amen. He promised that the other side was always going to work out. He said that no matter what you go through on the other end, if you stay in faith, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Amen. And so when people learn that, then we can have consolation in those times when it doesn't seem like the best ideal situation. Amen? Knowing that God is good and he's going to get us through. Amen? So we see that there's seasons for everything. There's seasons, there's time to every purpose under heaven. Everything, now that doesn't mean, again, that every single thing that happens was purposed by heaven. But God will bring purpose out of it. And we see that again. This is, if you look through the Old Testament, what is the Old Testament? It is one account right after another of all these people who trusted God, some who didn't trust God. But there's a lot of accounts of people who trusted God and went through horrible trials and came out on the other side blessed and increased. And it's all to be there to show us and to stir us and to be like, you know what? No matter what comes against me, I've got hope on the other side of it. And see, this is the thing, a lot of times people will get caught up in the why do bad things happen realm, when what they need to do is get caught up in the bad things happen because they happen, but God is good no matter what, and he brings me through it on the other side. See, the problem is people get caught up in the why do bad things happen realm and start blaming God and accusing God and all this stuff, and then they stay in that place of no faith and they never see the victory. It's a plan of the devil. But we need to be people that understand that God's got a good plan for us. And because he's got a good plan, it gives us hope. And because it gives us hope, it gives us something to reach for. It gives us something to go on to. So if you're not where you want to be, rest assured you can get there. If you're not in a place that's comfortable, rest assured that comfort will come. If you choose to go after it, amen? Praise the Lord. God, his ultimate desire was to bless us and to stop this reign of death in our lives. Because really, that's what the sin created in our lives was a reign of death. And on top of everything else, you know, people will sometimes judge things by sin. They'll say, oh, that person did a bad thing or this person did a bad thing. You know, when you look at it like a serial killer or something like that, you think, well, what a horrible thing that they do. Amen? Is there anybody who doesn't think that serial killing is bad? Amen? It's a bad thing to do. Amen? But you do realize that you still fall into sin too, don't you? And see, the difference sometimes is what is put on. Now, we understand that our fight is not against the flesh. It's not against the fleshly world, in other words. But it's a spiritual world that works against us. But as we yield to that spiritual world, You understand what I'm saying? Am I losing anybody here today? Praise the Lord. If we yield to those spiritual things that aren't good, temptation, that's spiritual. Amen. There's something that draws you in. You know what I mean? I mean, there's people that justify all kinds of things. They justify drugs. They justify, all these acts that end up in sin. Christians justify it all the time, and then they wonder why they don't have the fullness of God working in their lives. Listen, you can't fornicate and have the plan of God working freely in your lives. You can't expect God to bless you when you're spitting in the face of Jesus. It just don't work, amen. You can't be consumed with these things that are evil and then expect you won't have evil outcomes in your life. Why? Because that's what evil does. It reproduces itself through operating through humans, amen. And so even though you have serial killers and stuff like that, the worst of the worst, listen, those little sins are just as bad. I mean, just as bad in the sense that God still despises them, that they still separate us from Him. Like a little sin, if I lie about a little thing, that can cause separation between me and God, just the same as if I went out there and killed somebody with a gun. It still separates me from God because it's sin. That's what sin does. It causes death in the body and separates us from our Heavenly Father. Not because God wants to be separate, but because he can't live around that. Like he can't have that around him. Why? Because it'll be judged. You'll have to judge it. That's why Jesus needed to come, amen? And so we understand these things, that Jesus came to give us that grace so we could come to the presence of God and still reap what he has for us to reap. But see, Christians aren't reaping what God has for them to reap because they're trying to stay in that small mindset and that thinking that isn't God, amen? Turn with me to Romans 20 or Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Romans 8, 28. This is a scripture that a lot of people like to take out of context. Praise the Lord. But we want to keep it in context. Because listen, we can be people that take things out of context. We can do it. We can believe things that aren't true, but and we'll be deceived. But the thing is you'll never be blessed living that way. That's why I endeavored, like even when I pray to God, like sometimes I go to God, I'm like, Lord, I want more of you. And then the thought comes to me, but do you really want more of him? Yeah. And I was like, I think I do. And then I'm like, Lord, I really want more of you. I mean, that's what I want. You know, I want it, even if I don't want it. Praise the Lord. Remember that one man said, yes, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. You know, sometimes we have to be sober about things. Amen. We have to think about it. It's important. Praise God. I'm not talking about getting caught up in the head, but I'm saying we want to be right and before the Lord. And we know that all things work together for the good. Oh, so many people love to stop there. All things, God's working all things out. All things work together for the good. Oh, thank you, Lord. This scripture has context. They didn't even read the whole scripture. All things don't work together for the good for all people. I'm going to tell you right now that I name a lot of Christians that all things are not working for because they're not doing the work. They're not doing the Lord, the Word. They're not being doers of the word. The Bible says if you don't do the word, you deceive yourselves. Amen? We know that all things work together for the good to those. Everybody say to those. To those. Praise the Lord. Do you know this is written to Christians? Yeah. Okay. Which Christians is he saying this to? To those. Yeah. To those. Some Christians who love God. Jesus said, if you love me, we will do what? Keep my commandments. You don't keep Jesus' commandments. You don't try to keep Jesus. Some Christians don't even care to keep Jesus. They don't even try. I'm not even going to try. There ain't nothing good working out for that Christian. Nothing. I don't care what you say. I don't care what name you got tattooed on your forearm. It doesn't matter. I don't care that you got a shirt. I don't care if you repost something on Facebook because it make Jesus happy. Listen, Jesus don't care about you reposting things on Facebook. He only cares about what you act like. You know, most of the Christians that do that kind of chain stuff, and if you did, I've been looking, so praise the Lord. I'm not just pointing you out, but I'm just telling you, most of the Christians that do that kind of stuff, they don't live right. They do that kind of stuff to heal their conscience. God don't care about chain emails. He don't care about chain posts. He doesn't care about that stuff. He cares about his people living right. He says, back up what you say with what you do. If you say you love me, act like you love me. If you say you love me, do the things I said. Praise the Lord. So who do all things work together through the good to who? Those who do what God wants them to do. Those who care about doing what God wants to do. Amen? You understand, God knows that we ain't going to do things perfectly. So he's not saying that. And I'm not going to be a preacher that tries to get down on people and just say, you know, I've seen some preachers out there, some street preachers out there. I've seen them that they'll sit there and you could even say, I'm a Christian. They're like, oh, yeah. And then they start trying to, wait a minute here. You're not out there supposed to be tearing everything apart because everybody's going to fall at some point. You know what I mean? Or going to miss the mark, praise God. But God's intent for us is to be after him, amen? That's what the grace is for, hallelujah, is when we don't make that mark, amen? To those who are called according to his purpose, praise the Lord. Many are chosen, few are called. Many are chosen. God's given the choice for many people. But few are actually called into it. Why? Because only those who are faithful enter the call of God. What's the call of God? Does it mean I have to preach? Does it mean I have to go to church 50 times a week? No, it doesn't mean any of that. It means you need to get hungry for God, get stirred for God, the things of God, and be willing to go after what God has for you. But people don't get into that. And so we understand that there's seasons, and all things work together for the good to those who love God, but not for all people. So we understand that there are seasons, and we have to understand something about seasons. Some seasons we enter into without our choice. But I'm going to tell you that there's an awful lot of Christians that most of the seasons they enter into, especially the bad ones, are resulting in what they do. It's not because there's tribulation in the world, it's because they don't get their mind straight. They don't get their thinking right. You know what I mean? Christians that perpetually miss church. Well, I praise the Lord. I've had people in recent times get mad at me about that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so miss more church. Listen, I don't shout come to church because I need you here. I don't. God has called me here. I'll be here as long as God calls me to be. Whether there's 50 people out there or whether there's one person out there, it doesn't matter. Whether nobody shows up, I'm still going to show up. Praise the Lord. But you can't be blessed if you neglect the things of God. You cannot be blessed. You wonder why you have turmoil in your life? It's because you're not following the plan of God. The plan of God is that everybody connects to a pastor in a local church and becomes part of something that isn't just about them. Have you not understood yet that the things that we do are not just about us? And if you still live that life, you can't walk this out. Not all things work out for you. They won't work out for you. In fact, I'm going to tell you there'll be bad stuff, especially as we get closer to the end times. There'll be bad stuff that'll happen that you can't stop. You'll be pleading for it to stop, and it can't stop because you've sown too much garbage. This is why we encourage people, get in the Word, pray, learn about God. Get God into you. Learn how to follow God. Learn how to be full of God. Don't be full of TV. Don't be full of video games or be full of whatever. Don't be full of stuff that doesn't matter. Get full of God. We herald this. It's so funny because this is what we cry out for. And people, when they get offended at me for saying it, will turn it around on me like I'm picking on them. I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to help people. That's why I do this. I don't cry out. I don't yell. I don't scream about the things of God. I want people hurt for God's sakes. Why do we contend with people? Do you think I like going to people and saying, listen, stop doing this. I don't like that. I don't enjoy doing it. It's not my favorite thing to do. Any parent that loved punishing their kids? And if you did, you need to be punished. I'm telling you, I don't love punishing my kids. In fact, have you ever gone through a season where you just had to punish your kids over the same thing over and over and over? Don't you get it? You're just like, just get it so we can just have fun? Yeah. You ever been like that? That's what God's saying. He's like, just get it so we can just have fun. Get it so we can be blessed. The Christian church, like in so many aspects, I am not down on the Christian church, but in so many aspects, the Christian church has become a joke to the world. Because Christians would rather be on their smartphones than they would be in church. Yeah, absolutely. You have Christians that would rather do things that are just tickling the flesh than to honor God. Praise the Lord. There's people that would rather go to a football game than to pay their tithe. I'm just telling you the truth. What does it do? It removes you from the will of God, the plan of God. It hurts you. It hurts your family. God has not called us to these things. He's called us to that all things work together. There's seasons. But if we're right before the Lord, and listen, if we're wrong and we recognize it, then we don't get mad about it. We just say, Lord, we're wrong. I'm sorry. I'll change it. And then if you mess up again, you go, what? Lord, I was wrong. You know what? Yesterday, I was repenting before the Lord because I was wrong with something that I did yesterday. Now, it was in a conversation that I had. And all it was I went from a good conversation and I turned it into gossip. I was talking with another minister. And I turned it into a little bit of gossip, just a little bit. But it was wrong, and I was checked in my spirit about it. And I paid for it. Praise the Lord. I said, I paid for it. They'll think, not because God's like trying to smite me. No, God tries to keep me from that. That's the way he gives us. See, we can slip into it. But what do? I repent, and now here I am. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. To give you a perfect example, just to tell you the truth, I was supposed to go preach in Corey yesterday. Instead of going to preach in Corey, I'm hugging the porcelain throne. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Filling it from up here. Amen. Why? Because the things that I did wrong. You understand? And so it's not because God is punishing me, but it's because it removed me from this place for things working out good for me. Something that was supposed to be blessing for me, which food is, became something that wasn't. Amen. And I know that's the reason. Now, I'm not saying that's always the reason, but I know in that case, that's the reason. Amen. So I repented, and today I feel great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But thank God for my wife being more spiritual than I am, because she could go and deliver the word. And praise God. Hallelujah. It was good. Amen. So we see God wants things to work out for us. That's the plan. And if we love God, if we're after God, they do work out. Praise the Lord. Called to his purpose. Amen. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's an important statement. The firstborn among many brethren. You know what that means? It means that when you're the firstborn among many, it means that you're the first, but you're not the last. So what Jesus was born into, we are supposed to be born into. The blessing, the ability, those things that we are born into, that Jesus was born into, that's what we are supposed to be born into. This is what God intended for us. Now, that word predestined will throw people off. It's pretty interesting. The word predestined literally means to ordain or order. This is what God's plan is, in other words. It does not mean that everybody who walks in God's plan was, God said, okay, this person will, and this person will, and this person will, and these people won't. That's not what it means. God has opened it to all people. We understand that the word is open, and anybody can be changed by the word. There is no predestination, in other words. But the word predestined, what he's saying is that he's ordered it so that we would. He's placed the order, amen? We got the order confirmation, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Does anybody know what Amazon two-day shipping is? Praise the Lord for Amazon two-day shipping. It's nice. A lot of people use it. We love that you can swipe. Praise the Lord. You swipe to the left or right. I can't remember. You swipe. You order something. In 2 days, it'll show up. Is anyone surprised when it shows up in 2 days? No. Why? It's actually made us a little bit like, it's actually kind of hurt us a little bit. It's really good at a lot of things, but sometimes it's kind of hurt us, and I'll tell you why in a second here. But nobody's surprised. Why? Because you get an order confirmation. You understand that it's ordered. It's predestined to come. Amen? Because that's what two-day shipping was. Now listen, if two-day shipping, Amazon, has created this huge thing around two-day shipping. Everybody knows about it. Many people do it. A lot of retailers don't like it because they've just kind of ruined a lot of retail for people. But listen, if Amazon didn't follow through with the two-day shipping, they wouldn't have many people ordering, would they? Because they say, well, it never works anyways. If it was always two weeks shipping when it was supposed to be 2 days, you would stop ordering. You wouldn't pay the extra money or whatever it was to have it, right? Well, you get the order confirmation. It's the same thing with God. He's ordered it. He said, and it works. God said, if you do things this way, if you swipe left, in other words, you'll get it, amen? It'll come to you in 2 days or whatever. The reason I say that sometimes this, things like this is a problem is because we have a fast food, fast-paced, get-it-now kind of society. That's what one of the downfalls of like smartphones and tablets and stuff like that is, it's made us be like, oh, I got to get it now. Everything's got to happen now. And so what Christians are doing is they're like, well, if I ask God for something or pray to God and it doesn't happen right now, then something's wrong. Right. Listen, my wife and I have talked about this before, and I'll say again, we ain't fire trucks. Don't come to me with your issue expecting that I'm just going to rush, because that's not the way it works. Jesus didn't do it. I'm not doing it that way. He's at least supposed to be. So I'm not running around every time there's a problem. We need to learn how to walk in faith and take care of things ourselves. Amen. We're not. That doesn't mean that I won't be there. I won't help. But don't expect me to drop everything in my life to all of a sudden do something that the word, that people who won't do the word. You know what I'm saying? We need to stand on the word. You know, there's things that the word that we teach every week that are very helpful to people. Do you know most stuff that I have to clean up is generally from people who aren't faithful to the word? I'm just telling you the truth. Most trouble or trials as a pastor I've ever had to clean up, most, I'm not saying all, so if you've had some trials, I'm not just coming down on you, I'm saying that most. I deal with a lot of trials and a lot of troubles, amen, with people. And I don't mind doing that. I don't mind helping people, but helping people is a joy. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that I don't just drop at your calling or what you, or your beckoning, amen, because that's not how it works. Jesus didn't do it. I won't do it either, amen. We do things according to the way of the word. We do things in faith. Faith doesn't rush around with like a chicken with its head cut off, not knowing what it's going to do. But we have to understand, folks, that there are seasons. Sometimes we're going to be in a season where everything isn't perfect, and that's okay. We stay. What do? That's why we teach faith. Stay in faith until it happens. If you believe this is God, and we can help people with faith. I would much rather help you with your faith and building your faith and helping you get, like if you come to me and you said, Pastor Jeff, I got these issues that I just don't know what to do. That's fine. I am not talking about that. That's what I'm here for. That's what I love to do. I don't have people generally doing that. Most of the time, people don't come until there's a problem. But leading up to the problem, I'm here. I stand up here every day. Come up and ask me questions. I love it when people ask me questions because it pulls on the anointing. And I get to flow in that. It's a good thing. Don't ever apologize for asking me a question. Why? Because it's part of what I'm called to do. Amen? I love answering questions. It's a joy. Praise the Lord. And I don't think I've ever yelled at anybody for asking a question. Have I? Have I ever yelled at anyone? I don't think I ever have. I love it. It's a joy. That's what I'm here to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he's predestined us to be conformed to Jesus' image. What is that? To walk around in faith, to live in faith, to live with abundance, to live without need, without lack. You understand? This is what he's predestined us to do. And to live with an eye on the Lord and to know all things that we have to do. We don't have to walk around lost as Christians. We shouldn't. And not just that we don't have to. If we do, we are doing a disservice to the blood of Jesus. To the cross, we don't need to walk around not knowing what to do. We need to walk around knowing exactly what to do. And if we don't know what to do, we just say, well, I'm going to know what to do because I trust in God. Praise the Lord. I want to get to some things, so I got to keep moving. But, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So we see a preview. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy 8. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 8. So we're going to start in verse 1. And just for the sake of, well, for interest, if you're interested, these are the scriptures right here that the Lord led me to, that he taught me that sermon on, amen? But the sermon is not what I'm going into today, but that's what it was, amen? See, every scripture can teach many sermons, amen? Praise the Lord. So Deuteronomy 8:1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply. So this is God's commandment to the Israelites. We know that we have a better covenant based on better promises. That means that whatever we have is better than what they had. So if we see a promise to them, we at least have that, right? We can at least start there, right? Is that a stretch for anybody? I mean, we can see that, amen? God gave us Jesus to fulfill the law and all this stuff, to bring all this stuff to pass, amen? Every commandment which I command you today, be careful to observe that you may live and multiply. And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. So we understand that God has promises for us, things to get into. Now, when he said this to these Israelites, does this sound like a God who is rebuking his children? No, it sounds like a God who's giving them direction, right? It's kind of like if you came to me and you said, "Hey, how do you get to Walmart?" And I said, "Okay, you're gonna take this left, this right, da da da. You're gonna drive this many miles, go to this light. You're gonna turn around in a circle, do the hokey pokey. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna go where I tell you. You know what I mean? You're not gonna be offended that I told you. You're just gonna follow the directions. Amen. That's all this is directions. Amen. Well, why does somebody give direction? Because the one asking direction doesn't know, right? Amen. So this is what God says. He says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you will live and that you may live and multiply. So what's God's? This is way after the creation account. You know, he told us back then, be fruitful and multiply. And now he's saying, be fruitful and multiply. He's saying it again. Hallelujah. And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. In case you didn't know, the land which he swore to the fathers was a blessed land. It was full of supply, full of provision. Not just provision, but it had beautiful things in it. It had beautiful fruit in it. It had tasty fruit in it. It had an abundance of, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It had everything that they could ever want, everything they could ever desire. This is the land he was sending them to. But what did he say? Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Because if you don't, you won't have it. But see, so we understand. Did the people that he's talking to, did they possess the land that he had promised? No. They are in a season of not having. That's what they're at. They're at a season they don't have. They don't have the promise. You got lots of promises. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, I don't have them. That's all right. God tells us how to get them. Praise the Lord. He gives us pastors to tell us how to get them. How do we get into the promise? How do I get there, Pastor Jeff? I'm going to tell you. This is what we're doing. This is how we do this thing. Amen. This is why we congregate together, so we can get the promises. Is there anyone else who wants a promise of God? You want the fullness of God operating in your life? This is how you do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't make me break down to someone. That's not good. Yeah, praise the Lord. Probably, you know, sometimes I return to Egypt. I got to come back real quick. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you understand. So God is telling them, he's like, you're not there, but if you do what I command you to do, you will get there. Did it say you'll go instantly there? No, he said you'll be translated, you'll be where you're at, and all of a sudden, boom, you're in the promised land. No, he said you got to go in and possess. Go in and possess. Now see, those are just so words that seem like real simple that we could just look over, but God actually magnified these words to me. You have to go in and you have to possess. Praise the Lord. When you came into church today, you showed up. Praise the Lord. You showed up pretty much right on time or close to it. Amen. Definitely earlier than last week. Amen. Everybody that's here, hallelujah, did a great job. But you had to go in, right? Would you partake of what's being done in this service if you didn't go in? No. You had to go in. You had to. I didn't go out there in the parking lot and say, hey, let's go in. No, you had to go in. But see, now you come in and you sit here. There's many ways you can sit here. I've had people that have sat in these seats and looked at me like I was the Antichrist. Why? Because they didn't like what I was saying. They were not possessing. They were not grabbing hold of what's being preached. I don't preach to hurt. I preach to help. I don't preach. Listen, I don't do the word to hurt. I do the word because it helps. Why did my life change? Because I did the word. My pastor preached the word to me. Guess what? There's many times I looked at it and I was like, I don't like what you're preaching. I don't like what you're saying. Because it's stepping all over my toes. Well, guess what? If I'm stepping on your toes, ouch, hallelujah, get over it. Listen, we're not three-year-olds, right? Praise the Lord. Most of us, is there any three-year-olds in here? Don't see any three-year-olds in here. If you are three and under, you have a right to not like people stepping on your toes. For the rest of us, grow up and get over it. Because your life won't be helped if your toes don't get stepped on. I would not like a church service if it doesn't correct me. You're foolish if you want to just go in and get tickled all the time. If that's what you want, praise the Lord, there are whole industries that are set up to just tickle your flesh. I'm not joking, because it's the same garbage you're going to get. Yeah, there's whole churches. There are churches out there that will do nothing but make you happy and tickle your flesh and tell you things that will make you feel better about yourself. Listen, I want you to feel good about yourself, but I want things to be right. And if I don't tell you things that are heart-hurting you, then I become a liability to you. Amen. And I got to answer to Jesus to that. And listen, he's scarier than you are. You know what I'm saying? When I stand before him, I don't want fire shooting out of his eyes saying, you screwed up, man. You know what I mean? Because fire ain't shot out of your eyes yet. You look like, sometimes people look like they've been trying to. But, you know, praise the Lord. We got seasons. Amen. You got to go in and possess. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years because they do what Christians so readily do. Like they did a little bit what Christians do all the time now. That thing called complain. Ooh, hallelujah. They complain against God. Well, I never did. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, complain anything. Anything that's complaining is not it's not of God. It's not. It's not. If you hear it, I don't care if you hear it on the news, if you hear it in your friends, your neighbors, it doesn't matter. Complaining doesn't help. Praise the Lord. I know a Christian, and I actually got to tell him, he's not my sheep or anything, but I know a Christian, and I've been really dealing with this because I have to be around him often, but all he does is talk about, even if something's good, he talks about how it's bad. And somebody should know better. It's like at the point, I'm going to have to say something to him because it's like, I'm telling you in this church, praise the Lord, but it's just like everything, and everybody recognizes it in him. He's speaking that garbage. He wonders why he's not blessed. He's not blessed because he's doing everything opposite of what God told him to do. Praise the Lord. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Watch this. To humble you and test you. To know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. See, it's easy to be a blessing to God. It's easy to do well before the Lord when you have everything handed to you. But what about when there's trial in your life? It's hard to give when you have nothing. My wife and I have given for that place many, many times. It's hard to preach when you feel, preach the word when you feel like your life is falling apart. But can you stir enough faith in you to look to somebody else who's in need? Do you know one thing I've noticed is that almost every single time where I've had need in my life, where I was going through it, you know, where I was struggling with things in my life, God would send me somebody who needed something. You know what I mean by need something? Maybe they just need a friend. You know, sometime when I was going through depression or something like that, and God would send me somebody who needs to be built up, a man or woman of faith builds that person up. They look past the need. They say, you know what, I'll put yours before mine. That's what the whole church is about. But see, that's why Christians who don't do that, that's why they're not blessed. That's why they're constantly walking around from one trial to the next, because they've never connected to what God wants to do. It's about them and only them. Praise the Lord. It's not the way God intended it to be, but it's the way that it is. But see, God will humble you and he will test you. God will allow you to go through periods where it looks like you have nothing to see what's in your heart. Are you really going to change that way? You know, it's easy to repent before God and say, Lord, I'll change. Have we ever done that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever, something you've struggled in and you, like, oh, hell's breaking, you go to God, God, I'm so sorry. If you just heal me this one time, if you just do this, or have you ever heard this from someone else? If you just do this one time, I'll do better. I promise you I'll do better. And then what happens? You get your help and you turn around and you do the same thing all over again and the same thing all over again and the same thing all over again. And that's why people don't get out of that cycle. It's because they do the same thing over and over and over. See, God will allow you to be in a season to see what you'll do. Will you be faithful to serve when it's a time of busyness in your life? My wife and I, we served with little kids, served at the church with little kids, young family, with nothing. We served our pastors with everything that we had when we had nothing and we had a young family. We did it. And yet I have people, I don't think I've had anyone from this church say this to me, but I've had people from even other churches say, well, you know, I can't do that because, you know, kids still young, and say, there is no, listen, serving God, you train your kids how to serve God. That's why my kids serve God, is because we are a family that serves God. Now listen, I boast on the Lord because he got me that knowledge. I didn't do anything great, just followed him. But that's why we're blessed, amen? And see, that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to bless us. Glory to God, hallelujah. Man, when you start earlier, the time changes, you know, like the length of time, and it's shorter than it was before. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers knew. And this is the point to this, when he says this. He humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna. There's so much in this little verse, in this little part of this verse, that people just would pass over. He allowed you to go to a place where there wasn't abundance, but he still fed you. He still took care of you. You still didn't die. You know, one thing my wife and I used to say to each other when we would go through the worst times of our life, we say, you know what? We went through trial after trial after trial, but you know something? We still never lost our house. We still never lost our cars. Sometimes you thought it was, sometimes we might have been better than it would have been. But you know what I mean? There was times where it was like, we don't know how we're going to do this, but 6 months later, we were still looking back on it. We're still alive and kicking. Yeah. Praise the Lord, and we're better off today because we went through it. See, God will allow you to go through seasons of lack to test. Are you going to be faithful? And see, this is the problem. So many people say, I can't because. See, that's the problem. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what that scripture is for. What can you do? All things, because I'm in his plan. What has God called me to do? I can do it. People who say they can't, I can't, because they're just coming up with excuses. They're coming up with excuses why they can't use faith or why they won't use faith. That's the truth. Amen? We can do all things that God has called us to do because Christ strengthens us to do so. I said, I can do. Well, you say, well, I don't feel that. Listen, you can stay there all day long. I'm telling you how to get out of it. Do you want to get out or do you want to stay where you're at? If you want to stay where you're at, then keep right on doing what you're doing, because that got you there and they'll keep you there. It will, I promise you that. No change is necessary. You don't have to, if you want to have what you always have, keep doing what you always did. But when you want change, start doing what God says to do. When you want change, start going to the Lord and saying, Lord, show me. And listen, sometimes we can get to a place where we got some things so all muddled up and so bad that we're like, what do I do? I don't even know how to get out of this. It's easy. You step back. You get before the Lord and say, Lord, I've had it a bit screwed up. Even right now, I don't know what to do. But I'm going to start trusting you. I'm going to trust you to show me. And then you let God lead you. Sometimes he'll send you somebody. Sometimes he'll send you to your pastor. Sometimes he'll send you to somebody else in the church. Praise the Lord. No lone wolves here, right? Praise the Lord. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna that you did not know or your fathers know. And we haven't known since. Has God ever given you manna? We'll talk about that someday. I'm going to get into it today. But manna was food from heaven, essentially. It appeared in the morning, amen? That he might know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Praise the Lord. God wants us to know that it's not the stuff. And if your mind is always on the stuff, the things that don't matter, that's why you never see it. God has not predestined us to that. Amen? He wanted to show us some things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I got to keep moving here. John 11:40. Praise God. This is when Jesus had, I just want to bring it up to show you. I just want to give you a little bit of background. Jesus was called to, I love this account. Jesus was called to his friend Lazarus' house. Because Jesus do? What does the Bible say that Jesus did? He waited. He waited. He didn't run right there. He didn't come right over. Lazarus is very sick. You better come soon. Then he gets word that what? Lazarus died. Praise the Lord. God knew what he was doing. He didn't rush right over. He knew that the glory of God would be shown. Amen. And of course, and we know that the story that Jesus went in and they were still, you know, and everything. He went in there in faith and he called out Lazarus. Lazarus got up and Lazarus lived. Praise the Lord for Lazarus living. Everybody liked Lazarus live. Amen. But Jesus said this in John 11:40, and I love it. It says, Jesus said to her, to Martha, said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? The glory of God, the magnificence of God being shown in the resurrection of a dead friend. Has anyone had a miracle that's been that bad, that's needed a miracle that's that bad? I mean, generally, when we get to the place of dead, we already think it's over. But see, Jesus didn't even look like death is over. Jesus looked at death as just a hindrance that was trying to pop rear its head. But you understand what I'm saying. Most of us have given up way before this. But Jesus said, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. If you would believe. If you would believe. If you trust God. You want to get through this trial? You know, sometimes people are perpetually in the same trial. Have you been in a trial that you just haven't seemed to get out of? You got to start checking up on where your believing's been in that trial. Have you been using faith in that trial? See, because the thing is, it's the belief, it's the trust in God that sees you through that trial. That's where God says, see, I allowed you to be tested, and your faith worked. Now you can receive the end of your faith, which is the fruition of those things which you believe for. Amen? Glory to God. Acts 17, verse 26. Yeah, I'm getting close to the end here. Did you just say good? I'm just kidding. I know she didn't say good. She said, it's good. Praise the Lord. She was encouraging me because my wife is a good, good wife. Amen. She's a wonderful encouragement to me. Amen. Every day of my life. Amen. I'm so thankful for her wife. Acts 17:26. And he is made from one blood. Everybody say one blood. One blood is Jesus' blood. Doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you dealt with. It doesn't matter what you saw before. It doesn't matter what your daddy did. It doesn't matter what your mommy did. It doesn't matter what your friends are doing. It doesn't matter what town you grew up in. It doesn't matter what side of the town you grew up in. It doesn't matter what ghetto you grew up in. It doesn't matter where you come from. None of it matters because he is made from one blood. One blood. One blood draws us all together. It doesn't matter if you're from Mayville, from Jamestown. It doesn't matter if you're from New York City. It doesn't matter if you're from Harlem, the Bronx. It doesn't matter where you're from. Made from one blood. He's not a respecter of persons. He didn't care about any of that stuff. All he cares about is the blood of his son. Amen? Praise the Lord. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And has determined their pre-appointed times in the boundaries of their dwellings. Hallelujah. Again, we see this pre-appointed in this idea of predestination in these scriptures. And I brought these up for that reason, because a lot of people will turn, again, they'll turn this and say, see, he's determined. No, God has already determined there's a plan for you. There are things for you in that plan. And we know that the plan, generically, is blessing and not of curse. It's a fullness. It's the plan of God. But he's determined where you should live. Do you know that? God has determined where we should live. Pastor Michael is a wonderful example. Pastor Nancy was telling us at the last meeting. She said, if it was up to us, we live in like Florida. We live over in, you know, California, somewhere where it's warm, Texas, I think is what she said. They'd live somewhere else. But the plan of God has us here. So that's where they live. Right? And they're not unhappy about it. Why? It's the plan of God. That's where they're blessed. That's where they're full. Amen. God has determined pre-appointed times. He said, like, you will walk in this. There's seasons for us to walk in. There's time. Listen, it's not the season for harvest right now, naturally speaking. It's not the season for grapes. In August or September of next year, it'll be the season to when we go through the next few seasons. Amen. The season is coming for the harvest. The seasons are coming for the different things that you're believing for, wherever you're not. Amen. And if you're in a good season, don't get depressed thinking that all the season's going to end, because it will end. But there will be another harvest season coming. Amen? We just keep walking in God, following him. We'll go through the pre-appointed times in the right places. Amen? And I understand, too, that this scripture, in case you were thinking, you know, this is talking about man created from one blood and stuff like that. But we've been redeemed to that through the blood of Jesus Christ, through one blood. Amen? Amen. That same blood, consequently, that travels back all the way to Adam, because they can trace Jesus all the way back there. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to close with this scripture, or come close to closing, but really close. Real close. See, it matters. It's spelled the same, amen, but totally different meanings, right? Close and close. You're like, no, I want close, not close, but we're close to close. Amen. Galatians 6:9 in the Amplified. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint and acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, everybody say due time. Praise the Lord. This is not in the Amplified. This is in the King James up there. But we are reading for the Amplified. Amen. In due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap. If. We shall reap. If. We shall reap if. We shall reap if. We shall reap if. I need somebody else to say it with me. We shall reap if. If we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. If. How do we keep our courage? By holding on to the Word of God. How do we hold on to the Word of God? By sowing it into our hearts. How do we sow it into our hearts? By hearing the Word, reading the Word, listening to the sermons and stuff like that, reading Faith Fixes, whatever it is, whatever. We do whatever we can to fill ourselves with the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord, because we don't have to be so dogmatic that we're like, oh, we have to do this, and this every single day. But just stay before the Lord. Let the Word get in you and dwell in you richly, because as you do, that's what comes out in trial, and that's what keeps in that place of faith, because it builds our faith. Amen? Not allowing the Word to be plucked. And what do I mean by that? This is what I want to close with. If we allow the Word to be plucked away from us, in other words, the truth of the Word, What's the truth of the word? When something is preached, you say, yes, that's what the word. The word says that if I don't faint, if I stay strong, that I will reap. And so what do? Don't let that be plucked. The devil's going to come to you and say, oh, you want to give up. He's not going to show up at your house, by the way, with a sign that says, hey, I'm the devil. And say, I got some stuff that I want to tell you. I want you to believe me. If it was that simple, it's going to come in the voice of thoughts. Do you know it's the voice of thoughts is the realm of the devil? And that's where people are so often going astray. When you start hearing opinions, when you start hearing people give their opinions, oh, I love that. Oh, I wish I could go into some opinions that destroyed lives in here. Let me tell you that. I was witness to at least one person in here wanting the opinion of somebody else who was also not being very spiritual. And they did so, and it robbed from them, maybe everything. That person doesn't sit here today because of those opinions. Because they found justification of why they didn't need to let the word of God remain and dwell in them richly. They allowed it to be plucked. And they're going to see hell in their lives and maybe not even know that it's because of that simple thing. Even though they've been taught it, but this happens all the time. It's sobering. So be careful of the opinion that you share. If somebody talks to you about something, well, are they talking to me about my sin? Because if we start trying to justify our sin by someone else's sin, woo, watch out. Bye. We'll both be held accountable. Don't do that. Listen, we all fail in areas. I tell my kids, like, listen, if you see something good in me, you copy it, you do it. But if you see something in me you know ain't right, don't you dare use it as an excuse for you to do what ain't right. If you're going to do so, if you see me do something wrong, if you see me fail in an area, well, for God's sakes, don't sit there and say, well, Pastor did it. You know what I mean? That's stupidity. Why would we do that? That's a jump off the bridge mentality, right? We ain't going to do that stuff. Let's not follow people who are going to the way of the devil. We know, according to the word, what's right, as long as we follow it. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's seasons in life. A new season is coming. We're in a new season. We're in a good season. We're in a season of easy receiving. Amen? I'm going to make the most of this season, and part of the way I'm going to do that is by releasing faith for it. I hope you do too. It's easy for me to receive in this season. What have I been confessing? I've been confessing everything I can think of. Anything I need to come easy, I'm going to receive it that way. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm coming in. I'm being planted, and I'm going to receive from what happens in that planting. Amen?